Amen. If you can turn in your Bibles to Luke 6:46, as that will be all text for today. We're so glad that you're visiting with us today and worshiping with us today. It's a special day. It's the Lord's Day, which makes it always special, but it's also a special day because today is Small Group Sunday. Small Group Sunday is my favorite Sunday of the month because we get a chance to fellowship around some food, but more importantly, around the Word and around encouraging each other even more. So as we come to Luke 6:46, the Lord says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and acts on them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock. And when a flood occurred, the river burst against that house and could not shake it, because it had been well built. But the one who has heard and has not acted accordingly is like a man who built a house on the ground without any foundation. And the rain burst against it, and immediately it collapsed, and the ruin of that house was great." James says it this way, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only, lest you deceive yourself." And when we're talking about the context of Luke 6, Jesus has been teaching about kingdom living. He's been teaching about what this new kingdom that he's bringing in to reign and to rule, and that we're going to be part of this kingdom as believers in Christ. He's been telling folks about this kingdom and how they should live and act. As in every kingdom, before it's established, Jesus was talking to those who were in the kingdom and out the kingdom. There were some who thought they were in the kingdom, but they wasn't obeying Jesus. They wanted his benefits. They wanted, you know, the protection. They wanted the principle. They wanted the prosperity. They wanted all these things. But they didn't want to obey Jesus. And Jesus says, "Why do you call me Lord?" Matter of fact, he says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, when you don't obey me?" He used these terms over in Matthew 7. He said this, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? In your name cast out demons. In your name perform many miracles. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." You see, the point of the matter is when you come to the Scriptures, not obeying Jesus will lead you in hell. You say, "Brother Johnny, I thought we lived in a church that taught we're saved by grace." We are saved by grace. And as you see throughout the Scriptures, we're taught you're saved by grace. But those who are saved by grace obey Jesus. You see, it's not one contrary to the other. We show that we believe in Jesus by obeying Him. Ephesians 2:10 says it this way, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." And these good works are called, as I say, being doers of the Word. So in order for us to be Christians, real Christians in the kingdom and living kingdom life, we have to obey Jesus. We have to be a doer of the Word. So this morning, as we're going to look at our text, we want to look at a few pictures of what it means or to be like a doer of the Word. Let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing before we get into these pictures. Father, we just pray now that you would open our hearts to obey you, Lord. Father, that we would see the truth of your word, and then, Lord, give us the courage to obey it. Father, we thank you for every soul that's here today. We thank you for every person that came through that door, Lord. And Father, we count it a privilege to be able to worship with them today. And Father, for that person that came in today that doesn't know you, we pray, Lord, that you would move their hearts towards you. Lord, that you would use us as part of your mission on earth to bring others to Christ. And Father, we thank you for just the beautiful day and the beautiful yesterday that you gave us, Lord, that we were able to do your ministry at the apartment complex, Lord, and we were just blessed. Father, thank you. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the first picture we see of being a doer of the word comes from all texts. Jesus says in verse 47, "Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and acts on them, I will show you whom he is like." And before we look at the picture, we just want to take a moment and just stop and look at what the word says there. He says, "Everyone that comes to me." When someone comes to Christ, they believe that He's the Lord of the universe. You see, no one can come to Christ unless they believe He's got something they don't have. You see, and the greatest need that we have as Christians, the greatest needs as a lost person, as a humanity, is that we have righteousness. You see, and that righteousness that we need to go before God only comes from God. And that's why we need Jesus. And Jesus says, "Everyone who comes to me." And see, He's not up there stiff-arming us. He's not up there telling us don't come. When He walked this earth, it was clear. He opened His arms and He said, "Come, you who are heavy laden and burdened, you who are suffering from what? Your sin, come." I like that about Jesus. Amen? I like that I have a Lord that is open for people to come. You see, He's not saying, He's not stiff-arming anyone. He's not pushing them away. He's saying, "Come, come, come to me and I will save you. Come to me and I will give you rest. Come to me and I will change your life for my glory." That's what Jesus says. And you see, when we come to Christ, as He says here, everyone who comes, everyone who hears the Word of God. We know from Romans 10, that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of Christ. So we understand that in order for someone to come to Christ, they got to hear Him. But also, even after they come to Christ and they get into the Word of God, they start to hear God as He speaks to them through the Word. And as they hear God, they know what God wants. It's like Dee shared this morning, you know. Grew up in a Christian home. He understood about tithing. He understood about giving of himself and his money and his resources for the Lord's glory. And what he did was he obeyed what his parents taught him. Not perfectly, but purposely. He obeyed them. And you know what's interesting to me? Is that if we teach all children and we teach each other about these truths from God's Word, normally we're going to follow it throughout life. That's what we're taught. Generally speaking, you're going to believe what your mom and dad taught you. Not every time, not perfectly. You may stumble, you may struggle a little bit. But at the end of the day, your kids usually show up where you've taught them. And see here what God says to us, and Jesus is saying, "Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and acts on them." You see, it's not enough just to hear God's word. It's not enough just to come to Christ. Because what happens is, if you're not a doer of the word, you're deceived. See, you think you're walking with the Lord and you're heading down the road. Have you ever done that before? You're heading down the road, you think you know where you're going, and then you find out you're not on the right road. You know, that happens with me and my wife sometimes. Nothing makes me more mad to say you're going the wrong way. You know, I remember hearing about Henry Brandt. He wrote in his little book, you know, he took the wrong way out of Chicago and was heading somewhere to another city. And his wife told him, he said, "You took the wrong way, honey." He said, "I did not. I know where I'm going." He said, "It took me six X's before I decided to turn around." You know, that's what happens to us. You see, when we're not obeying the word, we're not walking with the word, we're deceived. We think we're going down the good road, but we're not. Jesus says only those who are doers of the word, only those who act on his word. See, in Luke 8:21, he says it this way. They were asking him about his mother and his brothers. He said, "Who is my mother and my brothers? Are these who hear the word of God and do it?" Luke 11:28, he said, "On the contrary, blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it." You see, to be a doer of the word is wise. To be a doer of the word proves that you're a disciple. Jesus said, if you love me, you're going to obey me. You got to be a doer of the word. And then he gives us a picture. He said, that person, and this is the picture, that person who hears the word and does it is building his house on a rock. And if you notice that story there, it said that he dug deep. You know, it's very important that when you're building a foundation, you got to dig deep. You know, I remember one time I was building a little fort outside in the yard, and I dug real deep, about 6 inches. And I stuck my wood in there and built all of my stuff. And I happened to slip while I was going by, and I hit it with my shoulder, and the whole thing fell down. You see, that's what happens when you don't go deep and you're building something. You see, you got to dig deep. You got to find the rock. You know, down in Louisiana, they don't have no rocks down there we build. We just keep digging and digging until finally we hit something hard, amen, maybe some shells or something. And then we put a telephone pole in it to make sure that we're higher than the water. That's the way we build it. But over here, we do things differently. You see, over here, we build on a solid foundation. Matter of fact, this church right here was built on a solid foundation. What was interesting was we were working, and there were Paul and Jimmy was out here running those machines and, you know, digging the dirt around, getting it all level. And, you know, it looked like it was ready. And then the inspector came out and he said, no, they got water in it. I'm going, of course, it rained outside. Don't you get water on the ground? He said, no, you don't understand. There's water in the foundation. So they had to come out here with the little rolly thing, and they rolled it back and forth, back and forth. They did that for like a week, so that thing was hard as a rock. Didn't have any water in it. And then the inspector came out, and he said, all right, now this thing's ready. And you know what they did? Right after that, they hurried up and got the foundation people out here, and they built the foundation. You see, it was on a solid rock. It was hard. It was clay. You could across this thing, you didn't have any problem with it. You see, that's what happens when you build a house right and the rain comes. That's the picture, you know. You got this house built and it's built on a rock and it's strong and rivers coming and it hits against this house, but the house doesn't fall. Why? Because it's built strong. It's built on a solid foundation. God says to you and me, we got to build all foundation upon Jesus. He is the solid rock. And Jesus said that. He said, listen, if you hear my word and you do it, you're building a house on a solid foundation. Now, when we think about foundations, what is the foundation that you're building your life on? Is it a solid rock called Jesus? Are you building it upon Him? Have you come to the place where you've trusted in Jesus alone for your salvation? Have you come to the place where you're building your life on His Word? Are you building it upon His Spirit? Listen, the greatest tragedy we have in American Christianity is that we're losing all kids. Listen, there's a lost world out there, but we're losing all kids. People who grew up in the church, when they get up age, they get out of college, or they get to college, and then they find out from these fancy professors that the Bible's not true, and all this other stuff that they're told, and they push their evolution worldview and their secular worldview, many of the families are leaving the church and never coming back. Why? The reason being is mom and dad ain't doing their job. You see, it's not the church's job to teach the faith. It's not our job. It's your job. It's mom and dad's job. See, the church's job is to come alongside you and help you. It's our job to worship and gather together, but it starts in the home. And you see, if you don't teach your family the Word of God, if you don't teach your family what Christian living is about, they're going to stray when they get out there. Now, by God's grace, some haven't. But friends, let me tell you, more than not, those who have taken the time to train their children, have taught them the faith, have lived the faith in front of them, have acted the faith in front of them, has been able to disciple their children, those folks don't fall away. You see, it starts in the home. Are you building your family foundation solid on Jesus Christ? Do you talk to your children about the faith, or do you just bring them to church? Now, it's good to bring them to church, and it's good for them to be involved in youth activities. But the reality is, it's your job, mom and dad, to teach them the Word of God and to live it before them. Now, you're not going to do it perfectly. So I don't want you to get out here and think, oh, Brother Johnny expects me to be perfect. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about purposely. When you mess up, do you repent to your children? Or do you pull rank on them? Are you loving your wife, men, like you're supposed to? We studied that in Sunday school this morning. Are you loving your wife like you're supposed to? You see, your boys are learning how to love their wives when they see you loving your wife. Are you a passive? In other words, do you let your wife just do what she wants to do? Well, guess what, man? You're teaching your son how to be a sissy. But I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm trying to help you. Let me tell you something. Those boys are going to learn how to be a husband by the way you act. And if your wife rules the case, guess what? You're just preparing them for failure down the road. And see, the problem is, I don't want you to get out of here and go beat your wife. Amen? That ain't what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is, I want you to get out of here and love your wife enough that she's going to submit and obey you. You see, if you love your wife enough and you love your children enough, they're going to obey you. They're going to listen to you. That's what you need to do. That brings glory to God. And I just want to encourage you today. If you haven't been building your family right, you haven't really built it upon the Word of God, you're suffering from years of just not doing your job right, what I want you to do is I want you to do what your pastor does. He repents, and then he gets back on track. That's what we need to do. We don't need to beat up each other. We need to ask sinners to come to Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I done messed it up. Will you help me change? Will you help me to put in place those things? Those things that are going to bring joy and glory to you, Lord. Will you help me to do that? Are you building your foundation upon Jesus? Or are you building it upon sinking sand? The world's philosophies. The second picture I want to talk about is found over in Psalm 1. I want you to turn there, if you don't mind, over to Psalm 1. Psalm 1:1 says, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. What we see here is that the blessed man doesn't go to the world for counsel, but in verse 2, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. So what we see here again, just as Jesus said, is the Word of God. Are you hearing the Word of God? Are you meditating on the Word of God? And the implication, obviously, is being, are you obeying the Word of God? Are you being a doer of the Word of God? This is the picture he gives us. He will be like a tree firmly planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And whatever he does, he prospers. James says it this way, but one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. You see, when you think about blessing, and you think about prospering, and you think about fruitfulness, these are all terms that mean that we're satisfied completely in Jesus Christ. And God has promised us that if we come to His Word, and we come to Him, and we obey it, we're going to be satisfied. We're going to be encouraged. We're going to be like that tree that is producing that wonderful fruit, but it only comes as we come to the Word of God, as we study it, as we know it, as we meditate on it, and as we obey it, then we're blessed. Then we're sprouting fruit all over the place. Blessing for eternal life. And that's what God wants from us. He wants us to be like that tree that's over there close to the river, that's sucking up everything it needs from its roots to its fruit to be blessed. You see, that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to be in the Word of God. And He wants us to be obeying it so that He can shed more light on our lives, so that we can grow, so that we can be more blessed and prospering more because we're obedient to the Word of God. You know, I have a dear friend. Her name's Tanya Taylor. She goes to a sister Baptist church, and Matt and me trained her in biblical counseling. She's got a great writing ministry. She does a little thing called Snack Foods for the Soul, and she does a little ditty every day, and it's just wonderful to see someone that you train so biblical in their thinking and understanding. But you know what she goes back to this past week? She had a little ditty on her grandma. She said, my grandma used to wake me up in the morning when she lived with my mother and us. And she said she'd yell from the bottom basement, Tanya, you up? And then Tanya would be half up. And she said, yeah, grandma, I'm up. Come down here. So she'd come down here and she'd have her Bible open. And she said, Tanya, I want to tell you what God told me this morning. And she'd just open that Bible and she'd start to read a few verses. And then she would pray with her and encourage her. And through her life, that took place. And now, because of the work of grandma, granddaughter is reaching hundreds of people with this Bible study, with these wonderful little nuggets of encouragement every day because of the legacy that grandma left for her. Now, I know some folks think when they become grandparents, they gave up parenting. But that's not what the Bible says. See, the Bible says that you got promoted when you became a grandparent. See, that's why they call you grand. You're grand. And you see, as a grandparent, you have the opportunity to influence not only your children, but the next generation. And you see, what happened was most of us, when we were growing up, we weren't that good of parents, just to be honest with you. And there was a few things we didn't do. Right. But see, now that we become grandparents, we're a lot smarter and we know what's going on and we're in our Bible more and we're praying more. We get an opportunity to help all children and all grandchildren. So what we need to do is we need to repent of the sin of retirement. That's a nasty word, by the way. You know, when I think of retirement, I think of the cemetery. I don't know about you, but I don't ever want to retire till the Lord's ready to take me home. But see, as grandparents, you have the opportunity to speak truth into your family's life and to help your grandchildren. You know, wouldn't that be awesome? Wouldn't that be awesome if you had the opportunity to lead one of your grandchildren to Christ? Wouldn't that be awesome that your son or your daughter or your daughter-in-law, son-in-law would say, you know what? I got the best mother-in-law, father-in-law, the best father, the best mother. They just help me so much. You know, when I'm down, they're there to encourage me. When I need some help, they're there for me. You know what? They love my children, and they spend time with them. And you see, the thing that's exciting about it is that when you spend time with your grandchildren and you're following in the steps of helping your children, you don't take their job. They're the parent. But you get the opportunity to help reinforce the truths that your children want to pass to their children. And you get to help them build their faith by opening the Bible, by taking them to McDonald's, by loving on them, by letting them see Christ in you. And you see, you need to be excited about your faith, which comes from being in the Word, so that they can get a glimpse and a heart for God. You see, nobody wants to follow a Jesus that's boring. Nobody wants to follow a Jesus that doesn't change lives. You see, that's part of what I loved about Dee's testimony is he said, you know, Mount Moriah, we've worked hard and this building has been brought up. But the truth of the matter is that's not as exciting as the lives that are being changed in here. You see, that's what God wants us to be part of. And as a grandparent, you get a chance to go back and fix what you didn't do right the first time with joy. And your kids need you more now than ever. You think, well, goodness, you know, they're 25, 30, 35, 40, 45 years old. They don't need me anymore. Yes, they do. Listen, They need you. They need you to come love them. They need you to come encourage them. They need you to look them in the eye and say, you know what? I'm proud of you. You're a good daddy. You're a good mama. And I'm proud of you. See, that's the problem with us today. We're not passing our faith on. We're not encouraging our children. We need to be part of that. God says that if we want to blossom, if we want to be blessed, if we want to prosper, we got to pass the faith. And we got to encourage and we got to help and we got to love. That's what God says. Be a doer of the word. And then the last picture we see is in 1 Corinthians 3. I want to encourage you to turn there. 1 Corinthians 3. In verse 10, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 10, we have the picture of the judgment seat of Christ. Verse 10, according to the grace of God which was given to me, like a wise master builder, I lay a foundation and another is building on it. But each man must be careful how he builds on it. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, each man's work will become evident. For the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire, and the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work, which has been built on it remains, he will receive a reward. Listen to me. There's going to be a day when you and me and every single person that's ever breathed a breath, every single person will have to stand before the Lord Jesus and give an account for our lives. Now, obviously, when we give that account, we're not talking out of fear for the Christian. Because we've been building our foundation on Christ. There is no other foundation. So when you come to Christ, you build upon that foundation. What type of foundation you build on is very important. Because if you don't build it on Christ, you don't have a foundation. When judgment day comes, it's going to all be burned away, including you. But God says to us that if we build on the foundation of Christ and we build in the right way, and we build with precious stone and gold and silver, on that day, Jesus is going to give us a reward. You see, today we're working for the eternal reward, not for today. You see, today we're dying to self so that we can live for God's glory, so we can build an eternal reward in heaven for Jesus. Now, let me tell you something. Brother Johnny's got a whole bunch of sin Jesus died for. And if you knew some of the things I've done in the past, and I'm sure you have things in your life you could say, you know, that's why we love Jesus, because He first loved us. But my friends, I want you to know there's coming a day, a judgment day, a reward day. And the things that we build with the right attitude, the things we build for God's glory and for the right reason, we're going to have waiting for us. Let me ask you something this morning. Is your reward going to be great, or are you wasting your time? When you get to heaven and you stand before the Lord, are you going to bring this huge pile of stuff and it's going to be burnt up? Lord, I use your resources for my joy. It's going to burn up. Lord, I worked hard with the Boy Scouts. Nothing wrong with the Boy Scouts. I worked hard doing this. I worked hard doing that. I did this charitable work. I did this Rotary Club. I did all these different things. It's going to burn up. Because the only thing that matters is what you did for Jesus. I don't know about you, but when I get to heaven, I want all my children there. I want all my grandbabies with me. I want all my friends with me. I want every member of Mount Moriah Baptist Church with me. I want all my friends in my community I work with and I love. I want them all there with me. Are you willing? Are you willing to change today to see that? Or are you going to keep wasting your life? Are you going to waste your life? Or today, you're going to make a decision right here. I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to change what I'm doing. And I'm going to make Christ the rock, the foundation that I'm building on. And every area of my life, starting with the precious gift that God gave me in marriage and my children, my grandchildren. Are you willing to do that today? Jesus says if you repent today and follow Him and become a doer of the Word, your life will be radically changed. I want to close with this thought. Not picking on the older folks. When I was at seminary, there was an 82-year-old woman. Her name was Miss Margaret. Precious soul, loved Jesus, had been married 50 years. Her husband went to be with the Lord. And she decided it was time to go to seminary to get her master's degree. She got her master's degree at 82. And I thought, well, you know, she's going to go work with some senior citizen group or, you know, helping some old ladies in the church or something like that. She said, Brother Johnny, I didn't come to seminary to spend my time with a bunch of old ladies. I said, well, what you going to do, Miss Margaret? She said, I'm going to Africa. The Lord ain't done with me. Last I heard, she was serving in Africa. They had a picture of her holding a little baby in Africa, taking the gospel to Africa. It's never too late. Will you change today? Will you make your commitment to go today? Let's pray. Father, we come to you humbly. Father, we come recognizing that you are worthy of all love and praise, that you are great. Father, as we looked at these pictures of being a doer of the Word, every time we look, Lord, those who obey and do, they're blessed. Every time we look, Lord, those who hear the Word and don't obey, they're cursed. They're deceived. Lord, help us to be the church that obeys. Father, they have folks all over this community who need you and around the world. Let us be on mission with you, Lord. Help us to be doers of the Word. Father, give us the courage to change today. Not next week. Not even tomorrow. Today. This moment, Lord. Wrath in our hearts. Real repentance. Help us to save our families. For your glory, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name.